Have you ever been in those moments when you know you're on the trail and you can see your client's primary emotion or their vulnerability popping through, but then all of a sudden it just feels like they slam the brakes on, jerk you forward, you almost hit your head on the dashboard in a way? Well, we're going to be talking about working with reluctance today.
Welcome to the Leading Edge in Emotionally Focused Therapy with your hosts, Dr. James Hawkins and Dr. Ryan Reyna. EFT is a dynamic model that humbles even the most seasoned therapists. Together, we want to come alongside you as you continually push the leading edge of your understanding and application of this wonderful model developed by Dr. Sue Johnson.
All right, so just to set the stage, give you context why we got to this topic. It was a great time we got to have here in Arkansas last week. Both Ryan and I got to be in Core Skills together, and that was really cool.
A rare treat.
I know. Yeah. I know. And particularly, we were in Core Skills 3-4. And for those of you who haven't been to an EFT training, that is where we're doing stage two of EFT, beginning with withdrawer reengagement and pursuer softening. And I liked how you said it, Ryan. There was one line you said in there that helped me get a little bit better, too. There's a couple lines. We're going to talk about one. But I liked when you talked about the positive cycle and that helping the withdrawer reengage helps the pursuer to soften. Helping the pursuer to soften helps the withdrawer reengage more. Yep. And as the withdrawer reengages more, I'm like, oh, okay. I've been saying that with a paragraph, but that's a good way to say it with like one or two sentences.
Yeah.
So I like
that's
that
where
one.
We're going. Yeah. That's what a secure relationship does.
Yeah.
That pursuer energy comes across in a softer way, which helps the withdrawer engage. And then the withdrawer stays engaged even when it's a little hard, and which helps the pursuer soften. And you know, once that starts to happen, under stress, our work is largely done. That is second order change. That is secure attachment.
Awesome. But in doing that, sounds nice that we said it in these simple sentences.
Yeah.
Along the way, you are going to have to deal with the R word. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Reluctance. Your clients are going to be reluctant to reveal these parts of themselves. They're going to be reluctant to experience these parts of themselves. I mean, I was working with a jar on the edge of withdrawal reengagement yesterday, and they just made it so clear. I don't go there, James, because if I go there, I know what's waiting for me. It's going to be hopelessness and all the facts about me that I'm a failure. Woo! So but before getting there with that withdrawal, every time I got even close to it, they would just be so reluctant to reflect on it, to let us sit with it. And so anyway, so when we were working, Ryan kind of said, hey, James, let's work on this role play of particularly talking about, you know, for us in EFT in stage two, we have these steps called 5, 6, and 7. Step 5 is where we work on accessing depth of experience and to get the negative view of self. And we want to get the negative view of self to go to step 6, where we get them to share it with their partner, to reveal this part of themselves that they don't even like and that they're afraid if they share it, their partner will not want them, or it'll cause some kind of attachment catastrophe in the relationship in a way. And so Ryan.
And 6 in particular is focused on the partners.
That's right.
Yeah.
Acceptance
right.
of that.
Promoting acceptance.
Mm-hmm. So right in there, and maybe even kind of going, and then we go to step 7 where it's like, all right, so this person's accepting this negative view of you or this part, at least the fear. Like, whoa, I didn't know this was here. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was something. And particularly it's, can you accept the fear? Not that this negative view about them, but can you accept that this is a real experience of them and even that they struggle with? And that it's not something that in order to like, could you love it even with this part of them being alive inside of them? Like, I don't have to perform to be accepted by you. And so as we were working through that, Ryan was like, hey, we kind of kept getting mixed up on like, let's make a 5B or this or that. But here's what Ryan said to me that I thought was good to talk about today. James, not only do we want them to share the negative view of self, let's also get them to enact the reluctance to share the negative view of self.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. It's not just what I say about me, but I need to see the good reasons why this is hard for me to reveal this to you. So anyway, so that's what we want to talk about that. But then it got me to thinking like, well, I'm sure reluctance is always there in stage one. That's why we're in the chaos. It's just the protection is so much stronger. The reluctance is so much stronger in stage one. Where by the end of stage one, we've kind of calmed some of it down and got them to honor and befriend the protection in themselves and in their partner that softened some of it. So I don't know. That's where I'm setting the stage, Ryan. But I want to invite you in. I know you and George have been talking about this when y'all were on the road together.
Yeah. So if you're a new person to EFT, this is a pretty advanced discussion.
Yeah.
So your head might swim here. So seriously, if you're in your first year or two, you may want to like save this one, come back to it. The way we were talking about it in that core skills is really advanced. Mm-hmm. Something that probably doesn't even happen that often in sessions, just because you're really waiting until you can get there. Mm-hmm. But it is really important. Generally speaking, the more reluctance, the better. Mm-hmm. Throughout the whole process. Mm-hmm. You know, reluctance, this is part of, you know, I think becoming a professional and doing this kind of work, EFT or otherwise, is learning to want that. Mm. Right? Because if your clients can do this without reluctance, it's probably not worth much. Right? So it's like going back to our first year of this podcast, I remember you can almost date our podcast by which surgery I was having at what point. I got another one coming up. But the first one was that knee surgery. And I did several metaphors after that. And I got another one. So I was at my surgeon's office and having knee problems. And he took me through a series of tests, like 9 in a row, mm-hmm. of moving my leg around. Mm-hmm. I'm not making this up. The first 8, my knee did great. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of looking at me confused, like, if you're hurting like this, if this shouldn't work. Mm-hmm. And then that 9th one, he hit the spot and he's like, okay, there's your torn meniscus. Right. And so when we hit the spot, that reluctance, that is the client's body saying, here's where I need the surgery. Right. So when people are reluctant to go deeper, when people are reluctant to enact, when people have a hard time responding to their partner, that is the indicator that you're doing a great job. It's not dissimilar much from how blocks are an indicator. So that's one thing. You got to want their reluctance. If they're saying really deep stuff, but they're not doing it reluctantly, it's just a story. It's just a summary most of the time. So this reluctance is your indicator to say you're on the leading edge. The leading edge should be a reluctant. I kind of want to share this. I kind of don't. That parched, blockish, reluctant sort of pacing and intensity is really key. So I'll let you get you to jump back in there with me before we go out to stage 2 again.
Wow. I just want to go back and review a couple of lines you dropped in there. Let's go back and get the bars right from MC Ryan. But we need to learn to want the reluctance. I appreciate that. That's a great self of the therapist line. Can you even find that in your body as a therapist to say, hey, I want to find this place? And here's the reframe, because this place is a leading edge of their experience. This is where I get to actually create experiential change right here.
Right.
If we're not in reluctance, then it's probably a place that they're like, yeah, we get it. We can make it here. And the reluctance actually shows us like, hey, this is where we're not sure if we can have success. Uh-huh. Plug in vulnerability. So I like that. Then I liked what you said, Ryan. You gave key areas to look for reluctance. There might be reluctance that comes from even like we could talk about move 2 of the EFT tango of going deeper or mm-hmm. distilling their experience, mm-hmm. their body. And this is also comes straight from Sue's book, Attachment Theory in Practice, that as we're assembling our client's experience, we should expect that they're going to block us from that. Very intuitive. Sue is a smart person, right?
Yeah.
We should expect that our clients are going to block that. And not because they're trying to be difficult. They're reluctant to saying, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. One, I don't know if I want to see that, because there is the negative view of self is behind it, or I don't like that, or I won't succeed there. So, but then you also said the reluctance to enact. They might be doing a great job with you as a therapist and rocking and rolling like, yep, you got it. Man, yep, that's exactly what it's like for me.
Yep, I feel sad.
Yep.
That
I feel sad, anything. And when I feel sad, I do. I shut down when I feel sad. I sure do.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
The therapist often feels good with that.
That's right.
But the therapist should be a little suspicious to be like, that's a little too easy. What am I missing?
And then when you say that key line, so right now with me right here and your partner, could you turn? And then you'll see that reluctance all of a sudden. They'll try and tell you another story. They'll be like, wait, hold on. Let me explain something else to you. It's a little bit of, I don't want to turn and look into the eyes of my partner and share this part of me. And that's reluctance. But then you gave another good one, the reluctance to respond. Because there can be a risk. Like if I respond to this one, I might have to feel it with them. I might have to see, this is what I've got from you in a training. I might have to look at what it's like to be on the receiving end of me Because sometimes you sharing that sadness might be, ooh, I contributed to that. In those moments when I can't show up, in those moments when I get critical, I know some of what you're sharing is on the receiving end of me. Or for some of my clients, the reluctance to respond is, I don't want to reward that behavior. Mm-hmm. I need you to change.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Because if I bring my heart forward here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get hurt more.
That's right.
Right. That's the ultimate probably reluctance. Yeah.
So I just wanted to roll out those four lines, but let's go ahead and take a quick break. Do you like the content that you're hearing on this podcast? Well, we invite you to join us on successandvulnerability.com along with George Fowler and other EFT therapists and supervisors, where you get to get more thorough insight into these concepts and actually get to see it done. Once again, join us on successandvulnerability.com. All right, so let's go back now. So here's where we're going to locate you. We're going into stage two. And let me make sure I do say something clearly. So sometimes I do mess it up in my mind. So the enactment that we're talking in stage two, in step five, we're going to access the negative view. Access the depth of experience.
Yep.
We want to get the negative view of self in the experience.
Yeah.
And then in five, we're going to enact them sharing that part. Six is focused on the partner and getting the partner and working with the partner's response to get them to respond. And then once again, seven is going back to the original sharing partner and asking them in that place of pain or fear, what would they need that could bring comfort to them in that place?
Yeah.
So in labeling this reluctance, we were trying to be around, we're like, is it 5B or pre-7? Like, what is it? You know?
Yeah. And it's important to remember those are all just numbers we made up.
That's right.
To describe a sophisticated process, but they are helpful too.
Yes, it is.
You know, and enactments have to happen when they happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're not thinking about numbers and steps as in session for sure. These are great, great things to train to refine our abilities outside of session. So yeah, there might be 10 enactments in step five,
mm-hmm.
But step six is really focused on the availability, the resourcing, the deepening with the partner, and then being prepared for any number of possibilities there. But the piece that I think we jumped in on, I'll just tell you my quick story. This came up for you recently. For me, it came up with my primary learning language, which is humiliation. It's like, it's funny. That's Kenny Sandifer's line, but it's true for me too. You know, it's like I learn from success sometimes, but I learn when I hit it wrong.
Yeah.
And so then I don't forget it for sure. So yeah, I was a supervisor already. I was not a trainer yet. So I don't know what year that would have been, maybe 13. So George Fowler is famous for sending me in to do whatever the hardest thing is as a supervisor with no directions and very high expectations. So thanks, George. Luckily, George never listens to this podcast, so we can make
we
fun
can
of
say
him.
Whatever we want.
We love George, of course.
Yeah.
But no, he sent me in and said, just do a 7. So, when I do a demonstration in front of a new group, it was externship. I'm like, let's just make this as simple as possible because these new folks, they just now, you know, talking about what an emotion is 2 hours ago. Now we're about to go send them to do a role play, which is terrifying for a lot of people.
The biggest role play in EFT.
Exactly. So I just try to keep one simple, you know, just like drop into emotion, access negative model of self, do a simple load of a need, which is really not an EFT step 7. But I just wanted to show the group one time. And he kept stopping me literally like 9 times. I'm like, hold on, Ryan. Basically, make it better. Make it better. Finally, I'm like, all right, you got to get more clear with me. So anyway, what he wanted me to do, and it really was, I'm glad it happened because I'm a much better therapist for this happening, is really spend some time accessing and then enacting the fear of reaching, which is also a part of deep fives. And then the reluctance to be seen there.
Okay.
And so he would say, and I would agree with him now, a real, I got my hands in the air, quotation marks here, a real EFT 7. This needs to be, and this is stage 2, step 7, the first time the EFTer is going after need. So EFT works backwards compared to most models who start with, what would you need from this relationship? I don't even ask that anymore. Couples have trained me, stay away from that. Until they're significantly de-escalated, I don't talk about needs at all. Mm-hmm. But in step seven, it would be the ultimate putting together of secure attachment, which is to access the deepest attachment need mm-hmm. and ask for it to be met in session. Not simple, not easy.
No.
And to get to that depth, first of all, you need to have a clean six, meaning what we call green lights from the partner. So the partner's already shown the ability, willingness, motivation to be there to respond with comfort to the partner before we ever think about going for seven. We could do a whole nother episode on seven later. In fact, we probably should. Mm-hmm. We don't do enough on stage two, probably.
And we need to do stage three, huh?
Yep. But the piece that you really jumped on, which is good to highlight, is before you go for need, really spending some time finding reluctance and enacting reluctance. And so some people would say, I may be misquoting Jim Furrow here, but I think Jim Furrow, I've heard George kind of allude to this and other trainers, that you could argue this is the deepest and most important enactment.
Yeah.
So if you back up a little bit, how do relationships become insecure? How do they lose the ability to repair in their bond? That it is, when I hurt, I don't come to you, at least not with my heart. Mm-hmm. I either don't come to you at all, AKA withdrawers, or when I come to you, I'm talking solutions, plans, shallow needs, here's how you can make me happy. And those are great ways to start cycles, as opposed to, here's this depth of my heart, here's where I'm not feeling good about me,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the presupposition, which I think is a very accurate one, is in my place of greatest vulnerability, where I'm questioning my ability to how lovable I am, mm-hmm. the presupposition is that my partner would not want me if they saw me there. So that is going on below the surface mm-hmm. in almost all your clients that are couples.
Mm-hmm.
So in this deep place, we're trying to bring that to the surface. We're trying to get them to say to you first, honestly, when this happens, I feel so dirty. I believe they wouldn't even want to be there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get there, you're having a real conversation, that reluctance to be seen. And then we want to enact that. Can you turn right now and can you say, when I get to this place and I'm feeling this dirty, I'm questioning whether I'm even worthy of love. The sense is that you wouldn't want me. Can you turn and tell them that right now?
Yep.
So that is, in my experience, and this is certainly not my idea, the greatest load for the deepest enactment, mm-hmm. which is now going for the attachment need in mm-hmm. seven.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear it that way because I did a form of that yesterday. It was the same thing. We got around the kind of like the client gave me this image of a pit, and in that pit is the negative view of self. Got that clear, but I was like, hey, can I check though? When you find yourself here, and you're in that pit, that deep dark place, and in that place is all the things about you that you don't like to see, and it feels like a hopeless place. What keeps you from letting your partner see you here?
Yeah.
And immediately it popped out. I'd be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed that here, after all this work we've done, I'm still in the same place. Mm. Oh, it's embarrassing. Can I check though, even as you say that now, is that embarrassment like I'm even embarrassed now to be showing my partner this? Well, yeah. Oof. Where's that? This is the body in, body out. Where is it at even in you now when you say embarrassed? Well, it's just kind of like dropping in my gut. Okay, you're doing great. Great. That shows me also there's a somatic marker of the reluctance.
Yeah. I like that you're tagging two concepts too, because if you're at this level, reluctance to be seen in your most vulnerable place, which is the sort of the title of this, mm-hmm. you're also on a mission.
Yep.
So we're definitely going to make sure we don't change subjects mm-hmm. or go back to content or go work out your partner's blocks right now mm-hmm. very much mm-hmm. you know, we're going to stay there right on.
Yep. And then have that client, could you turn right now and say, I'm even right now as I talk about this place, it's so embarrassing to let you see me here mm-hmm. and so that's why I don't show it. Could you do it right now? So then there's that one, but then you're also going to the reluctance now, because now if I don't want you to see it, I definitely don't reach for you there. And like, what's even your reluctance to ask for what you need? Could that be one? Like another form of reluctance, like the reluctance to not be seen and then the reluctance to reach,
yep.
Which they're probably tied together, right?
Yeah, it's kind of in the same ballpark.
Okay. Yeah. All right, awesome.
And one nuance there with withdrawers in particular, I'm trying to think of when I first learned this. It's been a long time, and I only learned it from watching trainers do lives. It seems to be more with withdrawers. The type of shame that happens there, it's a little different. I think there's a lot of shame that promotes clinical pursuerness and clinical withdrawerness. I know those aren't words, but you get it. But the type of shame that often exists on the withdrawer side creates this reluctance, and it's often around, if you were to come in here, I don't want you to come here, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want you to come here because it would make you dirty. Like, that's how bad I feel about me. Right. This is such a disgusting place. I am so disgusting here that I hide this from you, because if you came in, it would toxify you. You facilitate that conversation in session, you've changed those people's lives forever. I mean, what percentage of relationships ever get to that level? Well, let's back that up. What percentage of relationships have some of those dynamics? Probably everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage ever get there? Very, very few. 1%, 2%, maybe 3%. Sheesh. So that's beautiful work if you get to that level. That is second order level possibilities for restructuring.
Well, that thank you for that. That's $1 million game for $9.99 right mm-hmm. there, people. But also,
are we getting $9.99 for this?
I wish.
I haven't got.
So you get $1 million game for whatever you choose to donate or not donate. Anyway. Shout out to those of you who do support, and shout out to those who listen, who wish you could, but maybe you serve under, we're just real thankful for our listeners.
Of course.
We didn't do our thank you part, right?
It's not over yet.
Okay. We'll do our thank yous.
All right.
But hey, what would you say is that maybe that shame line with pursuers then? I know we're segueing here.
Yeah. Pursuers, coming out of stage one, they're so preoccupied on other. So their shame tends to be so tied to the repeated rejection messages, right? So it's the rejectability. You know, obviously there's something about me that's not enough. Otherwise, how do I make sense of this?
Yeah. Maybe I should stop you from, maybe that's another episode.
Yeah.
Shame for withdrawal, shame for pursuers.
Yeah.
I like that.
It is. It's similar but different.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another episode right there coming up.
Yeah. And I like what you've done, James, because you're extending this, you know. I tend to think about this move really late in the game as George says, a hit the gas pedal mm-hmm. move. Because if you can get people to say this, it's about to go really deep. And I do want to put a word of caution out there. If you're in session 5, you want to be mindful of not doing this.
That's right.
Because you don't want to – it's always there. And sometimes stage 2 phenomenon show up in the middle of stage 1,
mm-hmm.
but their window of tolerance and their safety has not yet developed to hold this kind of riskiness. So I wouldn't go for this every time.
Mm-mm.
At the same time, there can be points in stage 1 where this comes forward, and you know, you work with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But just be cautious trying to get people to go to this level of vulnerability.
Love that word of caution. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole titrated experience of EFT, where I appreciate Sue and the developmental team in like seeing that titration and saying like, no, you got to stabilize first. You got to stabilize the reactivity in that negative cycle to do this. This is my frame for it. You got to stabilize the patient before you can put them on the operating table
mm-hmm.
is the way I see it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, Jim Furrow's voice comes to mind here. I'm repeating myself on purpose. You know, in stage, so enactments, we're going to do a series on enactments, I think,
yep.
coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in stage 1, I just like to make them as simple as possible because I want to do a lot of them. You know, whereas in stage 2, and this is a parallel process here, you know, a lot of EFTers will go, what would it be like to turn? And talk about this. And Jim Furrow would say that's the most important question. It's more important to get into the experience
mm-hmm.
of what their body forecast if they were to share at this level than to actually get the need met. Wow. And I think that can't be highlighted enough.
Wow.
Okay. That's more important than what the need is, because the needs are actually really simple. Your deepest attachment needs a hug, to be held, reassured, a little bit of comfort, to know that I belong, right? We're not talking about super sophisticated behaviors. What's sophisticated is that reluctance, that deep felt sense that you wouldn't want me here.
Yeah, I want to take a moment and just give Jim Furrow a shout out. I don't know if every time like people really get to know who he is and hear his name. I think the most important attribute, he's a kind-hearted person.
He is. Great human being.
That's a great title to have, is great human being. I feel like we should make T-shirts, and only you can only get them, like those T-shirts are held at the Federal Reserve under guard, and you give them out. But Jim Furrow would be a great human being, and he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He is so brilliant. Yeah. A lot of this model and the research behind this model, we can credit to people like Jim Furrow. So I want to just shout him out. Yeah.
Yep.
And I thank you for this episode, Ryan. Thank you for like letting me wrestle. That was one of those moments I had never heard Ryan really. Let's see, I say never. I don't remember hearing Ryan talk about it. But it's that's what I like about this model. We say it in the beginning when Nicola says it in the beginning. EFT is a dynamic model that humbles even the most seasoned therapist. Just when you think, man, I got this thing in the chokehold. Yeah. I got this thing. Like I got it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I just learned something new.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. So.
And that's real common, you know, because most people, by the time they get here in the training, their heads are swimming. So this is a really important part of EFT that a high percentage of people do not even have in their body at all. It comes up late in supervision because it's just like, hey, we've done a lot. And it takes so much to get the negative model of self and remember where we are in stage two in these deep enactments. And, you know, we talk about a light system in step six and a lot's going on. And so it's easy just to sort of gloss over this reluctance piece. But reluctance is a major part of successful EFT.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to shout out. Ryan texted me yesterday. He says, what are some of the things that you think make EFTers afraid or bring up fear? And without hesitation, I'm like, enactment, reactivity, blocks.
Okay.
Those are, so I think that might end up being a series for us, the things that make us afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That make us reluctant.
That's right. What brings up the therapist's reluctance? Enactments.
And if you're listening to this, we'd love your feedback. If we're missing something that's like, man, this is the one thing that scares me to go in the session. You know, and we were having we'd love to hear about that. You know, we might even make it into a series. That's fun for us.
I like that title of it. What makes you afraid to go, confronting the fears that when we go into session, something like that.
Yeah.
Ryan's a great title maker anyway, so we'll get that.
Yeah, and speaking of thank yous, I want to say thanks for facing your fears.
Yeah.
John Wayne, his definition of courage is be afraid and saddle up anyway. That may be an Arkansas version of mental health, but I think that's pretty cool. That's what I think about. You know, yesterday I had three couples and I think three individuals, and I distinctly remember walking in the bathroom, and my bodily preparation is just different when I got a couple coming in. You know, I have a little voice that says, "All right, be ready. They may come in a vicious cycle, and you've got to go 0 to 60 and get up there and match with them in a hurry."
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen with an individual too, but it's different. So I want to say thank you for sacrificing some extra energy from your body to stay in there and work with relationships. It's not simple. You could make the same amount of money or more and work not as hard. And yet I would say you're making a difference in the world.
Yeah. My thank you, it's really, I feel like I've got a couple groups in my mind. I was just in Montana and Atlanta and about to head out to Boston. And, I just want to thank you for being willing to learn something that doesn't promise you an easy road. To be willing to say, hey, I see that couples work is hard, and I want the model that's going to, or a model, I don't want to, you know, but I want to find what's going to really equip me to work with hard realities of people struggling with emotional and relational distress. Because trust me, there are different approaches you could take that could avoid doing the hard stuff. So I just want to thank you.
I want to add one quick story to that. I got a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. I was at the Kennedy Space Center last week. We were on a trip, family trip. And so we're watching these, you know, the history of space travel in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you got all these tragedies, you know, especially the several of the Apollos early in the 60s. There was a fire that killed three astronauts. And we watched a movie that night. We're like, you know, diving into this head first. And then the Challenger, which was when I was in grade school.
Me too.
Watching that one, right? And then the Columbia. I happened to be driving underneath when the Columbia broke up over Texas in 03. And what stood out to us, and my son was there, and because it shows these tragedies, and then the next video is the next people coming to do it again, over and over and over.
Whoa.
There was 12 shuttle trips after the Columbia blew up. And he's like, why are these people doing this? I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. It's guts.
Good
and courage.
Insight.
This is what we're doing too. I don't mean to be dramatic, but you step in there knowing that couples therapy statistically is maybe the hardest thing that there is. You know that people have been struggling for 7 years before they get in there. You know that choosing EFT, which is an experiential version of doing this, is risky. Just want to say thank you for being the courageous astronaut who continues to step into what's hard.
when your Monday at 2 o'clock blows up, and then you still got to get back in the shuttle seat for 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you all so much. Look forward to the next one.
Thank you for listening. We hope this experience helps you push the leading edge in your work to help people connect with themselves and with each other. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. You can contact us at pushtheleadingedge@gmail.com, and you can follow us on our Facebook page at Push the Leading Edge. You can follow Ryan on Facebook at Ryan Reyna Professional Training and on his website, ryanreynatraining.com. You can follow James on Facebook and Instagram at DocHawkLPC. You can also check out his website, DocHawkLPC.com.